We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Jones and Mego.
I never said I could take on a hippo.
No, in fairness, you did.
With Arcand.
You ever see a hippo eat a watermelon? It's amazing.
On Boston Sports Original.
I wonder what Arcand just does with his time.
I watch hippos eating watermelons.
WEEI.
What do you think the Patriots are doing at number three based on some of the latest reports that Washington could be unsure of what they're doing at two?
I think they'll be happy as clams with whichever guy comes to them, whether it be Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I truly do. I asked Elliot Wolf this yesterday, would you look at any of these players as ones that you're settling for? So to me, if you have two highly capable players, you're going to fashion and tailor everything you do to that player's skills. But I think if both the players have particular skills that you can work with, you're happy either way. To me, if you have a preference that is so profound that you're kicking rocks, if you don't get that player, then you have to think about moving down. But I don't think that absolutely exists by any stretch of the imagination. I think that they can definitely look. Who do you think is a better quarterback today? Jaden Daniels, a better quarterback today. J.J. McCarthy is probably a better quarterback today. It's all the upside of Drake May. So if the Patriots are mad because they get a player who's better than Drake May is, as we stand here and the Commanders have taken Drake May, I don't know how you could be dissatisfied.
I don't know that they'd be dissatisfied. But they have a preference.
I think they'll feel like a little weird.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that they'd just be okay with whatever they get at three, they might be okay with it, but they prioritize all these quarterbacks differently. And I said this to Arcan yesterday. I'm like, everybody has an opinion on these quarterbacks. I guarantee the Cravs do. Tomasi just found a bunch of scrubs in the Red Sox clubhouse. They all had opinions on it. All of them. They're like, oh, this is what the Patriots should do. That's what the Patriots should do. Take this quarterback. No, you got to get Marvin Harrison. Get Odunze and Penix. Like, Red Sox players just sitting there on their ass, dropping 3 out of 10, had strong opinions on this. Everybody has an opinion on what they should do at three. It's not that hard. We're not talking about pick 21. We're talking about quarterbacks and the third pick in the draft. The Patriots definitely prefer one of Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or J.J. McCarthy. They're not getting Williams, so let's take him out of it. They have those guys stacked in a certain way. They may not love all three. Let's not pretend they're going to be ecstatic about what they get at three. They might be okay with it. And I would be okay with it. But I want Drake May more than I want Jaden Daniels. I guarantee they have a preference as well. And there's a reason they have a preference. They feel better about one prospect than the other. So they should be doing whatever they can to get that guy and hoping that that guy falls into their laps. And if Washington is sending out mixed signals, or Jaden Daniels' camp is sending out mixed signals, then I'm a little uneasy if I'm the Patriots. Am I so uneasy I trade up to number two, and now Washington gets an extra pick out of me and they play games all along? I don't know. Maybe. I think that's worth it to ensure I get the guy that I want. The Patriots may not be there. They may not have as much conviction in Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whoever it is. By the way, Jeremy Fowler seems to think Jaden Daniels is the guy they prefer to Drake May. I'm not telling you it's May over Daniels on their board. I don't know. I'll defer to Jeremy Fowler on that. But there's one they have ranked higher than the other, and they should want that guy at three.
I agree. It's a little alarming that we're 6 days out from the draft, and the consensus is maybe there's not a consensus behind closed doors. That we were just talking to Tom, that some guys still like J.J. McCarthy and some guys like Drake May. And then we hear other reports that, oh, actually Drake May and Jaden Daniels are like, they're really into both of those quarterbacks. Like, it just feels a little messy. And I can't tell if that's because every time one of these guys talks, they say six different possibilities of what could happen, or if it's because there's nine different guys in the room and three of them like this guy and six of them like this guy. And by the way, here's what the owner actually likes, and it's wishy-washy and changes by the day too. Like, I'm more concerned about what the mess might be behind scenes. And I know that Curran says it's not contentious behind the scenes. I believe that, but is it confused? Can it be confused? Like, is it Is there somebody who's going to have the loud enough voice and the most conviction to stand there and say, I'm taking this pick and I'm wearing it?
Yeah, I just don't know why I have to assume there's not, it's not contentious.
Like, well, Tom told us that.
No, I know, but
I'm saying that's what his reporting was.
I understand, but like, I don't know. My
if your job's right on it, there's probably a little tension.
This is what I think. It's like, it's not contentious at all if they all think they're getting overruled by the owner. Or, you know, Ben McAdoo and Elliot Wolf, or Elliot Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith are over here, and Ben McAdoo and Alex Van Pelt are over there. It's not contentious. I mean, they might not be like ready to fight one another, but like, I'm sure there's tension, right? You just said it, Mego. Jobs are on the line. This is a massive pick for everybody's job security. So I bet there's tension.
Sure. But unless everybody's, you know, pulling in the same direction on everything all the time, then I mean, I'm sure there were people, the scouts who were working for Belichick, when he'd come in and say, no, 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 we're doing this. It was contentious there.
Yeah, but that was like, know? No, 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 we're doing this on a safety.
Yeah.
This is the quarterback
I guess.
Who you're off of taking a highly picked quarterback before that was a total disaster.
I agree with Arcan on this. I think there was tons of tension in their draft room, and people were pissed when Bill just overruled them.
Yeah, but so, I think that probably happens in every single draft room in the world, in the league. I mean,
me
I think it's just contentious. People with different ideas and different opinions who want different things,
so
and that's
not pretend
that.
It's not. I agree. I think that probably happens in a lot of draft rooms. I agree.
I mean, there's different levels of it, obviously, and this is a unique situation where no one has a job beyond, you know, next week, so I think that also plays a major role in it, too. But when it comes to ownership and them having a preference one way or another, it makes more sense to me just looking at it. I don't know how much college football the Crafts watch, but even if they are, you know, let's just assume that they're kind of casual college football fans. Who do you think they like? Drake May or the Heisman Trophy winner who in the SEC put up all those numbers? They probably like Daniels more.
Fair point. That could be true.
You know, I mean, like,
I'm not arguing with that.
Unless they're watching all the film and breaking down the footwork and all the other crap. You know what I mean? Like, they could be, but I just sort of feel like Daniels is the more accomplished of the two quarterbacks, and he had a better year last year.
Yeah. I mean, who's more marketable?
I don't know. I mean,
you don't
probably
know?
The Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, yeah, probably, but I don't know. Maybe Drake May is very marketable. I don't know enough about him.
I don't know either. But the guy who won the Heisman is probably the more marketable out of the two, right?
Probably, yeah.
So, like, look, that you make a good case. The Crafts may lean towards the more marketable player. It's a business, and you know they can pretend they don't care about the finances all they want, but they do. And so, who's more marketable? Who's going to sell jerseys? Who's going to create a buzz? The Heisman Trophy winner probably does that more. I agree with that. That's not my personal preference. I like Jaden Daniels, but the further we get along, I like him a little bit less. I don't like that he's trying to dictate where he's going, potentially, if you believe some of the reporting. And even he shows up with four other quarterbacks at Topgolf or wherever they all showed up to. And he's like, wait a minute, I thought I was going to be the only quarterback here. Well, fine, that is strange. I agree with that. Why isn't Drake May squawking about it? Why isn't J.J. McCarthy squawking about it? Who was the fourth quarterback? Was it Nix? Was it Penix? I don't remember. Why isn't that quarterback squawking about it?
Because they didn't expect to be the only ones there.
Okay, but maybe. But look, I think how Washington handled it is odd, and the league is confused about why Washington handled it that way, if you believe Florio and others. But only one is complaining about it. So I like him a little bit less. I'd be fine with him at three, but I want to emphasize fine. For the last couple of weeks and months, I thought it was going to be Drake May, who is number one on the Jones big board. 617-779-7937. A few pieces of feedback here before we get into A.J. Brown and the Patriots' interest, which we also talked to Tom Curran about from NBC Sports Boston. If you missed any of it, it's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. You can listen to it whenever you want, take it with you. Wherever you go, use the rewind feature to listen to our interview with Curran. This text is from Hervev. I'm sorry, Twitch chat, rather, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I fully effing hate the word collaboration. I am getting a little sick of it, right? And it's like, I really never liked it when the Patriots use it, but like this idea that everybody's got to be kumbaya and on the same page with the pick, that's not reality.
See, I hear collaboration and I immediately think like, okay, so there's going to be no accountability because nobody has the titles, nobody has the outward responsibility. The most that we've gotten with that is like Elliot Wolf a couple months ago coming out and saying that he's the one that ultimately makes the pick at the end of the day. But because of the level of the pick and because ownership has made such a big deal about getting their franchise back with Bill Belichick gone, I think a lot of us look at that and go, well, they're going to do it ownership wise.
Well, so. And even he said, you know, if I'm the only one who likes a player, I'm not crazy. I'm gonna listen to the consensus.
Right, and he also is the one who said, hey, last time I was in a position kind of like this, you know, we took
never.
Lamar. Well, we took Baker instead of Lamar, and maybe we would be packing our bags if we took Lamar. Who knows?
So that message in the Twitch chat was also about the Bruins and their collaboration, which my buddy texted. And he said, it's Swayman game one, it's Ullmark game two. Book it. They're going with the rotation, in other words.
Swayman game one?
Yep. Okay. Look, I also think it's Swayman game one. I don't disagree with that. I disagree with the Ullmark game two part. And so, again, I think the Bruins have a collaborative
approach. I disagree
approach.
With it, too, unless Swayman lets in like five goals.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. And so, like, let's play that out. If Swayman gives up five goals, who starts game two?
Ullmark.
Okay. If Swayman shuts them out, who starts game two?
Swayman.
If Swayman gives up one goal but they lose in overtime 1-0, who starts game two?
Swayman.
Okay.
Swayman has to melt down to lose it. That's what I think.
That is also how I feel. Yeah. But let's do the exercise again, Mego.
Okay.
Swayman gives up five goals. Let's call it in a win. They win. They win 6-5.
Mego wants Ullmark game one.
Fire wagon hockey.
Yeah, I'm already off of this.
Okay, right. Good point. I'm sorry. Let's phrase it differently. Okay.
Put in Swayman.
Ullmark in game one.
That's the anti-Mego.
It's
Go Bees!
Oh, that was actually B last night.
Fire wagon hockey. Fire wagon hockey. Ullmark in your case wins game one because you think he's, I think wrongly, but you think he's getting game one. Ullmark wins 6-5. Fire wagon hockey game one. Who starts game two?
Swayman.
Okay. Ullmark gets a shutout in game one. Who starts game two?
Ullmark.
Ullmark wins in overtime 1-0. Who starts game two?
Ullmark wins?
Yeah. No. I'm sorry.
They lose
1-0, but he only gives up the one goal in overtime. Yeah. So we agree. Like, we don't really believe it's a rotation. It's dependent on how game one plays out, which is how I feel. She happens to think Ullmark gets game one. I disagree with that.
Swayman.
We'll see who's right. I also think it's one more time, Ryan.
Swayman.
That's also who I think it is. But I think it's completely dependent. Their rotation, their collaborative approach, I think is entirely dependent on how game one goes. But I hate collaboration as well, whether it's the Bruins and their goalie decision or the decision at pick number three.
Or our show.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, I certainly don't believe in collaboration on that. Lighter Riches in the Twitch chat. May is a desperation pick. I don't feel he's a desperation pick, and I would push back on what Curran said. I made a face when he said it in real time. Who's the better quarterback day one? He said Jaden Daniels.
I agree with that.
Maybe Jaden Daniels is better day one than Drake May. J.J. McCarthy, he said, is probably better day one.
This is where it feels...
I reject that.
It feels very different because Jaden Daniels is older. He has more playing experience in college. And so we all know that Drake May, like, to put it kindly, is rough around the edges with some of his decision-making and footwork and everything else. So I could see how Jaden Daniels, you would say, comparatively, he hits the ground running, literally. J.J. McCarthy, it's like... Just because he comes out of this pro-style Michigan program, the kid just turned 21. Like, it's not like he has had all of the experience that someone like Jaden Daniels has had.
Drake May had a down year last year, and his numbers were still better than J.J. McCarthy's.
Thank you.
You know, like, I didn't agree with that either.
Okay. So, like, people have moved too far on this. And I'll also say this. People thought Josh Allen wasn't ready. People thought Justin Herbert wasn't ready. Those guys were both starting by week two of their rookie year. And I don't think people remember. Josh Allen was not as terrible as a rookie as people think. He was 5-6, and by year two, he was in the playoffs.
He just looked awful because you had Brady.
Yeah, and he also was inaccurate, and he turned it over, but, like, okay, he also made plays. And I think we looked at Tom Brady, and we're like, well, Brady's efficient, and Brady doesn't turn it over, and he's the greatest of all time, and our view on Josh Allen was skewed. Fine, he made mistakes. He also made plays. Drake May, I think, is going to come in and make plays. Jaden Daniels, I think, is going to come in and make plays. J.J. McCarthy in a perfect world doesn't turn it over, but I don't think there's a lot of plays to be made there either. And that is where I think the Mac comparisons really apply. And those should be terrifying. 617-779-7937. Let me hear Burt Breer on NBC Sports Boston last night, early edition, discussing the availability of A.J. Brown.
Burt, is there any reason for us to believe that there is going to be a Tom Brady, A.J. Brown reunion in Foxborough this fall?
No. This isn't the sort of roster that Tom Brady would come back to begin with. Like, I think if Tom Brady is going to come back, it's going to be to some loaded roster that has a quarterback injury later in the year. And even that might not be likely. Maybe he was just saying that to stir the pot. I did have to run this up the flagpole with a few different people. Philadelphia has gotten inquiries on A.J. Brown. and they have shut them all down and told other teams that he is not available.
Okay, so put the Brady stuff to the side for a moment. Although I said I would circle back to this earlier, I actually do want to do that because there's a Brady update today. But on A.J. Brown, our buddy Beadle ended up dragging this out of Breer later on in that segment, that the Patriots were one of the teams that inquired, and Philadelphia shut them down. So the Patriots have called about A.J. Brown.
Baby steps.
Yeah. Well, right. Bravo. They couldn't even bother to call about Keenan Allen. I doubt they called on Stephon Diggs, but I don't know that definitively. They did call on A.J. Brown. What do we make of all of that?
I like it. I like that they made the call. That's a good first step. As Arkan said, it's progress from where you were when you called the Chargers. So maybe you asked about some other guys around Philly. Who knows? I might be wish casting. Of course, Philly would sit there and say, like, no, we're not trading him right now. Like, drive up the price. Get as much people interested as you can. Set the market as high as you can for that, especially as we come up on the draft and you know what everybody's got to offer. So I may be wish casting that they're not, like, completely shutting it down, and they're more just saying it's got to be some kind of really nice offer.
Yeah, and look, I mean, obviously they're shutting down trades. They haven't gotten an offer they like yet. So will they lower their asking price, or they're just waiting for somebody to meet their asking price? Those are two different things. Do you think he moves during the draft, Arkan? He moved during the draft last time, two years ago.
He really did, and I think the Eagles here, I mean, the Eagles are in a weird position because they just paid Smith. They have to pay Hurts, or did they already pay Hurts? He's got that big, extension?
I thought Hurts has been paid.
Like $50 million a year, something like that, I think.
I'll double check. I think Hurts has his contract.
And there's Lane Johnson and some other guys who are making big money, so the Eagles maybe are sort of looking at this like, okay, we have one more crack at it before we really have to go crazy with all this.
Hurts, by the way, signed 5 years, $255 million. I mean, I'm sure those are, if you dig into the details, I'm sure it's not that, but he's signed.
Yeah, so there you go. So, I mean, we always say the cap doesn't matter, but in some cases when you're really spending like crazy, it does, and the bill comes due, and look what happened with Buffalo last year in the offseason. They had to lose a ton of people. So maybe they're running it all back for one last shot at it, but Brown is under contract, and if they do want to trade him, they still got a couple more years to do it, so it's not really a rush for them, but I could see them, yeah, changing their mind and going for it, because look, there's a lot of good receivers in this draft. You trade A.J. Brown, you got Smith there, you bring in another young guy, you know, he probably won't be as good as A.J. Brown, but you still have a pretty good situation there.
Yeah, so to me, the Patriots can call all they want, and you guys both made this point, but it's like, I actually am impressed they called. Most times I'd say, boy, that's just a GM doing their job, but they haven't. They haven't on other players, so good for them for calling. Philadelphia shut it down.
Hello?
I don't think the Patriots are trading for one of these guys. I've said it now for, I don't know, weeks, maybe a month, going back to free agency. They wouldn't pay Ridley. They're now going to pay a guy like A.J. Brown, who's better. You're going to pay him more and give up the pick? I refuse to believe it.
If Brown gets traded to some other team, I'm going to be ripped.
Yeah, he might.
Be ripped.
I mean, some of these receivers are going to move.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown, Ayuk, maybe T. Higgins. We've already seen Diggs move. We saw Ridley move in free agency. Keenan Allen got traded. Like, I think we're going to see more receivers move. And I'll be pissed every time it happens. But I don't think the Patriots are going to get them. I'll be pleasantly surprised if they do.
It was not because of finance.
It was. No, definitely not. Finance is not a factor.
What would you give up for him?
I would give up 34.
What else?
I don't think it would take more, but if I had to throw in another like mid-round pick, so give up 34 this year and like a future fourth, I would do something like that.
I would too, in a heartbeat.
Okay, so like he's the best receiver that's been available, and I'm interested. Can I just add this, because I forgot the beginning of that clip. Trenny asked Bird about having Brady and A.J. Brown, which how about this? How about you sign Brady, you trade for A.J. Brown, and you take Harrison at 3.
Tom.
Now we're cooking. Now we're on to something. Mm-hmm. I think this is some of what Cadlick wrote about today at WEEI, if you want to check that out.
I think it just moved.
On the Odyssey app. Like all of a sudden, that's a team. How many games does that team win? Harrison, A.J. Brown, and Brady.
Tommy.
17-0.
Yeah, I was literally going to say the same thing. They don't lose. That's an undefeated team. It's exactly what I was going to say.
That 70s Dolphin team to kick rocks.
Tom Brady, I guess, tweeted out a video today of him running.
Ooh.
It moved again.
Okay, so
he's jealous of all the clout Taylor Swift is getting.
So he put out a video, and I guess it's through Noble, and Noble acquired TB12. That was another Brady flex on Mac Jones. But they put out a video of him running today. In other words, sending out a message. Some are reading into this, sending out a message that I'm in shape. Come get me. I talked about coming back. I talked about playing. I talked about an MJ-like return. Now there's videos of me, oh, by the way, in shape running. Do we read into that?
I think he's trying to sell compression shorts. I think that's what it is. Okay. He's like, well, look at me. I'm the ultimate model.
You know how you sell them? You come back and play. You don't sit in the booth on Fox. You come back and play.
Oh, because Jordan stopped selling shoes when he stopped playing?
When did he sell more?
I don't know. I haven't looked at his sales.
I would imagine he sold more as a player.
I don't think the brand's struggling.
No, I don't think it's struggling, but I think it's, number one, it's Michael Jordan. His brand always did better than TB12, which got bought out by Noble. And number two, I think the best way to do it is by playing. You don't think TB12, the sales went down when he retired?
They probably did. Again, I don't know.
It's not even its own brand anymore.
Well, also, what happened to Brady Brand? I saw some of that at TJ Maxx.
Oh, that's been acquired by Noble as well, I think. I think that was all part of it.
What was the name of that, like, harness thing that Brett Favre was selling? You remember that?
No.
It was like that weird thing for, he's like, I may be old, but I still like going out and playing in the mud with my buddies.
Wait,
and it's like
what?
Him playing. You don't remember this? It was like an infomercial.
Those were Levi's.
It wasn't Levi's.
Those were jeans.
It was like a man bra?
It was not.
We could get one of those.
I remember
Jones.
Those Levi ads too, but there was another one where it's Brett Favre and he's wearing this like girdle basically. And he's talking about how it's like makes him so free and everything.
Intern Jacob is nodding.
Okay. I forget what it is. I'll look it up. But
a man girdle?
It was like basically, yes.
It was like the Moulin Rouge video.
Kinda, yeah. It's after he was retired.
No, it's
the point.
A thing. It's the back brace.
Did it have
the
push
Brett Favre
in
back
it?
Brace?
He's like D and Always Sunny.
Yes, it's a man's ear.
The aluminum monster.
The aluminum monster.
but either way, it was after he'd retired, and I feel like Jordan's the exception. Like obviously, the Jordan brand's still going strong.
Yeah,
but everybody else, after they retire, the stuff they sell, they don't sell as much.
Fine. I mean,
it's
look,
weird that girdle didn't fly off the shelves.
Jordan keeps moving
one.
Shoes. Fair point. How's Brady's brand
You're
done
wearing
since
it
he
right
retired?
Now?
You want to move your brand? Come back and play. And I'll tell you what would move if Brady comes back.
Tom.
below this desk Tom. Is what would move.
It's a copper girdle?
Copper fit?
The copper fit. Yeah, the copper fit. That's what it was.
Okay,
the copper
that's
fit.
That's a knee brace. That's not a girdle.
No, it was you wore it around his waist.
Well, if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, Brian has this up.
Back support.
These are knee braces.
Okay, this
sleeves.
Is the knee one, but there was one for his back, too.
I don't see a girdle. You
okay.
promise girdle, and I don't see
this
anything.
Isn't the same one, I guess.
Arcan, don't worry.
I don't see Favre in this ad.
That's very on brand.
Oh, there he is. All right, there's Favre.
Very
Where's
on brand
the girdle?
Arcan's algorithm is what it is. we'll get to your feedback coming up. What do we have in Triple Play, Arcan?
Triple Play, it is a fill-in-the-blank Friday, and we got the playoffs coming up in the NBA and in the NHL. We'll reminisce about the Celtics and the Bruins.
Okay, let's do that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.